Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. We're glad you joined us today for the second day of an American Role Reversed as our panel today,
Bill,
Josh,
and Doris, discuss this important lesson. As we discuss this lesson today on pages 40 and 41, you should discuss this with your friends also. I think it's very important, Bill, for people to talk about this role reversal that's going on in the world today. What do you think?
I think it's incredibly, incredibly important for people to talk about, Doris, because what happens in our life, we're so busy day to day that we don't even know what's going on. We don't even understand the trend that is going on. And things will happen, especially like in marriages and in families, where we make changes. We justify them either through money decisions or through some time or pressure, and without really understanding the long-term consequences. And so we really need to take a look at, okay, what is going on with husbands and wives and raising their children? And what are the long-term consequences? That's really what this article is about.
Right. You know, talking about the genders, men and women are different. That's one thing that is certain. God made men and women different. Men can't have babies. Women can. God gave women certain traits to gender those babies, and we cannot change that no matter if we do it for money or anything else. And so I don't know why we need to try to change something that cannot be changed.
That's right. And I think, of course, the title of the article is An American Role Reversal, but this is a global problem, a global issue, as families are feeling the pressure of job loss or opportunities given to women that haven't been given before, whether it's in politics or in business. Families are making difficult decisions and not always in the best interest of the children.
Right. You can reverse certain things, but you cannot reverse the role of being a mother or a father. That's already been set from the very beginning. Even animals, the mother bird stays home and the father goes out and gets the things and feeds the baby when the mother's in the nest.
Yep.
I mean, nature teaches us that, doesn't it?
Yes. And Josh talked about some of that yesterday as far as reversing the roles, father staying home, mother staying home, and maybe they're switching. And we make too many of these decisions based upon money and opportunity and not really understanding, okay, financially the decision makes sense. However, maybe that father's not that well equipped to stay at home. He just doesn't have those skills. Maybe the mother is not equipped to do, you know, other things outside the home. We have to really go beyond the economics of the decision situation.
So let's look at our article today as we continue on page 41. Yesterday, we talked about what is making or driving or causing this change. What was the thing we talked about yesterday?
Well, we said that one theme emerging is education, the fact that women are better educated many times than their husbands. And women now, Bill told us, are getting more college degrees in the U.S. than men.
Yeah, they're getting more undergraduate degrees, master's degrees, even PhDs. So,
well, and some of the subjects that they are studying are that have to do with computers and management and things that they're very, very good at those things. So, you know, it isn't that they can't do the job, but does that change their gender? No.
No, definitely not.
No, it doesn't change their gender. So, and there's something also, you know, we did talk about how women seem to be more, you know, interested in school, they excel in school, has a lot to do with the gender roles. Men are more, just even biochemically, it seems like they're geared towards working with their hands, working outside. So the problem is what has happened with men, the industries they traditionally worked in are either dying or the ones that are still around, their incomes have stagnated.
Right.
And whereas the women are also in fields, whether it's finance, computer sciences, things like that, where those incomes are going up rapidly.
so they can earn more. There is one thing, however, if you don't want to change your gender roles, there is something. It's the fact that all of us can live on less than we think. Mm-hmm. We don't have to buy Mingpai Dongxi. We don't have to buy the most expensive. We can buy secondhand things. We did that when I was growing up. I mean, there were eight kids, and we didn't always have – we had secondhand things, but we still – my dad was out working, and my mother was at home with the kids. So you don't have to have the most expensive things in the world to be successful. You can cut down a little bit.
That's not the message being sent to people by media and advertising. The message being sent is that you have to have it all and you have to have it now. And as a result,
big house.
The point of where, well, we think we need dual incomes. We have to have dual incomes. If most couples don't even imagine a single income existence these days.
But they could get by if they really needed to. They could.
Sure, anybody could. You could. You just cut back on certain things.
Right. Secondhand bread.
Right. So
bring home the bacon. It's all about the bacon.
Right.
And you're saying maybe you don't need bacon.
That's
maybe
right.
You could get along with
noodles.
With noodles, right.
Well, we used to eat Dun Dun Min, and one, we didn't have much money, and that was 2 or 3 or 5 NT instead of, 500 NT.
Mm-hmm.
But it was okay. We lived on it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So let's think about that a little bit as we talk about today's lesson. On page 41, what about the parenting role? Can that really be reserved? What are these other things? Let's read this now, Bill. Let's take the first section.
Parenting. The role reversal has freed moms who prefer to work and dads who like to nurture. Patience. When dad has it naturally and mom doesn't, is the attribute both men and women cite for flipping traditional roles. Health insurance. Who has it? Professional women generally have this precious commodity. Blue-collar men often don't.
Well, that's kind of some problems here. What do you think?
I think they're less prevalent than the education issue, which I think is why our author spent less time on them. But the first one is pretty important. I think it says there's a role reversal going on that's freed moms who prefer to work. And I disagree with this notion that this is positive, that somehow moms should be freed not to be mothers anymore so that they can work.
Well, I would think that a mother would hate to leave her children with someone else, even if it's your own mother, because the psychologists have done all kinds of studies. And they have found out when the mother leaves the baby, that the baby, they've taken all these tests and there's an anxiety that comes in. The baby is insecure. Mm. I don't care if it's your own mother or your sister, but when the mother is out of the room for very long, the child gets upset. They've done tests on that. Nobody can take the place of the mother. There's affinity. The mother had the baby in her for 9 months, and they had this affinity, and nobody else can take that place. So when I would not want to leave that baby, and that baby will grow up insecure. You can give them all the money in the world, but you cannot give them security, and they don't have it if they don't get it when they're little. The mothers need to be with the babies.
That's a good point, Doris. There is a special bonding there that goes beyond the realm of explanation, and you cannot justify it by economics or the functionality of a job. And I think that's what our society has lost. We're just saying, oh, well, mothers can go work, and completely ignoring this almost inexplainable bond between the mother and the child.
You know, people used to know that more intuitively. You take Chinese women in the past, they had to work very hard. They'd go out to the rice fields, but they had their baby on their back.
Mm-hmm.
Or you'd go to a beauty parlor when I first came to get your hair done, and the babies would be in there playing around on the floor while the mothers were fixing your hair. They didn't leave them home with somebody. They brought their kids with them when they went to work. So the kids could see their mother was there, and they had a security they don't have today. And they didn't have as many social problems with the kids when they grew up in those days.
And it says dads liking to nurture, which I think I am a dad who is affectionate and loving with the kids. And I nurture means I care about the emotional side and emotional development of my children. But I can't do it like their mother can.
You don't want to, do you?
I don't want to
either. You want to stay home and be a mother?
Absolutely not.
Because it's not the way we're made. See, this is the thing. This is the way that we are genetically made. Men and women are different.
And I think men have changed. I think this idea, maybe when we talked yesterday about the Ozzie and Harriet generation, there was this notion that is being dispelled of the old school dad. This idea of dad is always stern and strict and never smiles and never tells his kids he loves them and never gets on the floor and plays with them or changes a diaper. Those dads are not around anymore.
They weren't always that way either, actually, to tell you the truth.
I believe that, right.
But dads used to think, well, the women had to do the dishes and they didn't have to help. Now the dads help the wife and all. That's okay. It's not talking about that, you know, but it's just talking about the fact that the one who's with the kids the most is the mother to teach them. Mm-hmm. And it says here that sometimes, you know, the dad has more patience and the mother doesn't have it. I don't know that that's always true.
Again, it depends on each couple, and it's not – you can't say one way or the other. Fathers are more patient. Mothers are more patient.
People are different.
Yeah. So – but again, they're saying, well, what's driving this change? I don't know. So they use the word here attribute, and attribute is just a quality that men or women have.
But it's saying the data told them this, though. It wasn't our author just guessing. It says that when asked – men and women cited means they listed the reason for the changing roles being as that he had more patience with the kids. I couldn't take them anymore.
Well, I wonder, you know, one thing is I think if the man is at home working at his job, like they're saying some of these people, the men were doing different things at home and the woman was out, probably the man didn't notice what the kids were doing. They could have been doing all kinds of things because women are kind of more multi-track. Mm-hmm. So the mother will see the kid doing something he shouldn't do. The dad will be so busy working on it, he doesn't notice it. So the kids get away with it. So the dad can be patient because he doesn't even know the kid is making a hole in the sink or something like that.
So right.
Yeah, on the top of page 41 there. I mean, he's got one kid on his lap, but who knows what that kid in the back of the picture
is
doing.
Yeah, that's right. And he probably doesn't know.
Starting a fire back there. Now, this next one, this is, in America, it is a legitimate reason. I will grant them that. This is a legitimate reason because of the extremely high cost of health insurance in America.
And that's still being talked about and worked on, and it seems like it's an ongoing thing about health insurance. So if women get more insurance and the man doesn't have it because he's blue-collar, which means he's a worker like a carpenter or something, and he doesn't have that kind of insurance – they might think that's important, and it is important in a way.
And it's not just blue-collar men. It's also the guy yesterday we talked about starting a graphic design business.
Right. Mm.
Lots of entrepreneurs, and it's really expensive to get health insurance as a self-employed person.
That's true.
Yeah, just to give our listeners an example, if you want a family of four, typical family of four, maybe somebody like even Josh's family, mother, father, two young boys, in America – if you want to pay for health insurance on your own, you're looking about $1,000 US a month for health insurance.
Oh, minimum.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
$1,000 US.
Easily could go up double that if you wanted what's called a PPO, meaning you got to pick your own doctors.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So that's why it is a legitimate factor, health
right.
insurance.
That is one thing, right?
Yeah.
Well, let's read on about the education matters. That's important. So let's take another section now.
Education matters. The college gap is driving startling changes in financial equations between women and men. Women earned 57% of bachelor's degrees, 60% of master's degrees, and 52% of doctoral degrees in 2010, the Education Department reports. Tiffany Townsend, 36, is a college-educated fundraiser. Her husband, Todd, 40, is a carpenter. They discussed having a second child. Financially, it would make sense for her husband to stay home rather than to use daycare. I'm kind of wistful, wishing I had that option, Townsend says. Women who work are sometimes perceived as sacrificing family for career.
Well, there certainly are a lot of things that people are considering nowadays, and it's not easy to make these decisions.
That's true. There's a lot of factors that come into it. Education, parenting, patients, and health insurance were some good ones. Now we're getting deeper into the education issue.
The college gap, meaning the difference, because more women might go to college than men. Not a lot more, but just a little bit, a few more, right?
That's right. You said about a 6% gap or something,
Bill? Yeah, not too much.
The problem is that women actually finish more than men. Mm. There are more men dropouts, too, as far as university degrees.
It says women earn 57% of the BAs and 60% of the MAs. And 52% of the PhDs in 2010. So it's just, little almost half and half, not too much difference.
No, but a big difference than it was 30 years ago.
Yeah, well, that's true. And also you have to consider the direction it's heading into. These numbers are going to get even higher. The other ones will be up over 60%.
That's
so
true.
So it will continue in that direction.
Sure. But it talks about this lady, Tiffany Townsend. And she is college educated. She's doing a job like fundraising. Well, her husband is a carpenter. So if he stays home so that he can, she can earn more money so they can have a child, how can a carpenter get any satisfaction out of staying home? Well, as a man, then pretty soon he's out of everything. And 10, 20 years from now, how's that guy going to feel?
I don't know how he's going to be able to do that. He's going to have to actually give up maybe his work. And I think their equation is that they are saying, what's daycare going to cost us to have two kids in daycare compared to the income we're giving up if this guy stays home? That's probably what drove their decision.
That's right, because most of us in America, we don't have options beyond daycare. And daycare can be really expensive.
And the thing is, coming in, is that last thing about health insurance. Because if he's a carpenter, he doesn't have health insurance, most likely.
Yeah.
But at least she has health insurance. So they've got two factors in this, financial factors in that decision.
And she is thinking longingly. When you're wistful, you're almost dreaming of emotion, almost sadly dreaming about what you don't have. And she's wishing she had another option.
Yeah, she said women who work sometimes are seen as, perceived as, mean they're looked at as sacrificing their family for their career. You're giving up your family so you can have a good career. And so they look down on them in a way, say, you shouldn't do that. But, for her, it's practical. She says, well, we need to do it. So we can say han mao dun in Chinese. It's a little difficult to decide on these matters, isn't it?
Well, but is she sacrificing?
No, of course not.
She's giving up her time with her kids.
Yeah.
But in this case, right, she's not saying it's for her career. It's for the benefit of the family.
Actually, I don't think daycare can ever take the place of the mother because the other people are not going to teach the kids the same ideals and things that you have. You're going to pass on what you believe in. And the people in the daycare are not. They don't believe in the same things. So that's going to affect their whole background of what they believe, the ideals, the things that my parents passed on to me because we believed them in our family, about working hard, about not lying and stealing. You get this from your parents, not necessarily from daycare. You don't get that individual attention in daycare.
No, and this is it's a tough decision for a lot of families because even if they do choose to work, even if both parents are working as opposed to one staying at home, their margin isn't that great.
No.
They're looking, the difference is like only a couple of hundred dollars a month. And really, it seems like a strange way to make a decision. And again, it goes back to then families may not be choosing to live without certain things that maybe they could get by without.
I think it's also important to note that this article is talking about nuclear families, families that are together, the mother and the father. We're not talking about single moms.
Right.
They obviously have a much different
set of factors. They do. They have to leave their kids sometimes. In fact, they said now that 40% of the babies in America are born with people who are not married, and that makes a big, big problem. That's going to be even worse. But we're talking about families where the mother and father are both there, so that's different, isn't it?
Yeah. So, okay, now we finish up here with, speaking of the mother, a mother's influence, right up your alley, Doris. A mother's influence. In most cases, the higher-earning working women interviewed by USA Today came from households in which their mother was a role model, working long and difficult hours outside the home. Jill Kennell, 51, of Oregon, was raised on a Virginia farm. Mom worked in a grocery while Dad farmed, so it didn't seem radical when she became the family's sole breadwinner after her husband lost his job. She's a software trainer and teaches part-time at community colleges. Her husband, Donald, 55, does the laundry and keeps house. Their children are 17 and 20. He makes a wonderful house husband. If I had to sit at home, I'd go nuts, she says. Donald Kennell is finishing his associate's degree, made affordable by the tuition benefits from his wife's teaching job. He hopes to start on a 4-year college degree and become a civil engineer.
Well, a mother's influence, I think that's a very important thing, because all of us feel that at Mother's Day, we always say how great our mother influenced us. Some people haven't had mothers like that, and I always feel sorry for them. There's something lacking in their life when they haven't had a mother's influence. They're different. They don't have any security in their life. Don't you think, Bill?
Yeah, I think there's something in there about maybe there's might be insecurity issues and also some issues as far as relating with others. I think it affects that. In the long run, though, what I have seen is that there is a distancing then between the child and the parents if they aren't spending time with them.
Definitely.
That then
they like the alma better than the mother.
Well, right, and maybe by the time they reach 20 years old, then the parents are wondering, why isn't our child communicating with us? Well, they never really had a relationship.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a great point. And we start our article here in this section about the influence that mothers had over these working women. The higher-earning working women there, it says in line 9, actually came from households with similar type mothers.
Mm-hmm.
Says their mothers were role models for them, working long and difficult hours outside the home.
So they never had that kind of a love.
Mm-hmm.
They never had that mother's influence. But still, I think there's something in everybody longing for that relationship. We're just born that way.
I agree.
I think it is, yeah. Now, I'm looking at this, okay, what were their mothers doing, like, in the long and difficult hours? In this case, maybe the mothers were working like at retail stores into the evenings, weekends, things like that. Or maybe they had other jobs, not so glamorous and certainly not high paying. So their mothers maybe even had it more difficult because they weren't in jobs as attorneys, engineers, or computer programmers.
That's true.
Did your mom work when you were a child, Bill?
No. Actually, she stayed at home.
Me too.
Yeah, me too.
And I really look back on that, and I really, really appreciate that.
Especially the first few years, they say, before the child is 5.
Yeah.
You know, later on, kids can go to this yodzuyen, they can go to be gone a little bit during the day. But when the mother is there, when they come home, it's very important. So if the kid goes out and come back at 2 o'clock and the mother's there, but if the mother's not there, it seems like very empty and they seem lost. So it's very important to be a mother. If you want to have children, you don't have to have children. If you want to have children, then you should take care of them. Otherwise, don't have them. They're not just articles. It's not like buying a car and putting it in the garage, you know.
That's right.
You got to take care of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it goes on here to talk about this software trainer teaches part-time at a college, and her husband does the laundry and keeps house. And their children are 17 and 20 years old.
Yeah,
and he makes a nice household husband,
that's
right?
That's right. We meet Jill Kennell, who works on a farm. And her husband teaches part-time. And that's just part of the changing roles that we're talking about. Women used to have maybe the part-time job, and the man would have the full-time job.
Right.
But I think the changing economy especially, and also just the types of roles, men are starting to take on more part-time jobs.
Well, yeah, and it says here, well, she said if she had to stay home, she'd go nuts because she'd be bored. But that's not necessarily true. There's a lot that you can do when you're home. You can learn other things. You can do things with your kids. You can train them. And you can have fun with them. So it's not like you just go nuts. You're not just sitting there.
In her defense, you can do those things when they're older. The first year, you're not doing much with them.
But see, they talked about these kids being 17 and 20. So
right. But I think it is a difficult job being at home, say, with a 2-year-old and an infant like my wife was for a while. That is some tough going.
But you're teaching them things and they watch the way you do and they know that you love them. And another person cannot give the kids the love the mother does.
You know, it's interesting because like you said, Doris, you said something about, well, you can have kids or not have kids, right? And so I think this I'd go nuts gets to, okay, why are we having these kids? And it's a joint decision between the husband and the wife.
Right.
And maybe in this case, maybe the husband was the one that really pressed for this. Maybe the husband is the one that really wanted the kids. That's okay as long as there is agreement to have or not have. And okay, fine. Maybe part of their deal. Part of their deal was, okay, look, we're going to have these kids, but you're going to stay home and raise them. Okay. But make sure you understand why you're having the kids.
Yeah, and that doesn't sound like a real mother's heart because a lot of mothers wouldn't want the husband to raise the kids.
That's true.
Really.
Do you think society's becoming more or less accepting of couples who are choosing not to have children?
I think it's just become this thing has become so commonplace people don't question anymore. When I was growing up as a child, it seemed strange. Yeah, but I mean, that was 40-something years ago.
Now I think people are accepting of that decision that we're not, you know, kids aren't for us. I'm hearing that from people. We've talked about
it. People don't really even ask about it, yeah. Yeah.
Right. Well, that's another whole subject. But, you know, this one here says that this Donald Kendall, he's finishing his associate's degree. And that sounds real good. But you go down here and you find out he's going to start a 4-year college degree and become a civil engineer. And how old is he now? 55?
55.
I mean, you know, is he going to get a good job as a civil engineer with that age?
Oh, that's right.
I mean, they're hiring young people. When you're 60 years old, who's going to hire you?
Hey, but you know what? I like it. I really like that this guy's doing this because this guy
great,
is still in the game.
I know.
He hasn't hung it up. He's in the game.
He's a finisher, Doris.
He may not get much in the job market. Well, anyway, think this over, though, and think of the value of a child and their life and their whole soul in their life, and don't just treat them like a piece of property.
Yeah, good point.
And mothering is a wonderful profession. It's a gender role, and don't take it lightly.
That's right. Make sure you really want to do it, and it will be rewarding. So why don't we wrap up here for today. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Bye. This
Goodbye.
Is Doris.
Goodbye.